This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with the as close to as we can get to Christmas edition of News West, Sunday the 19th of December 2021. You only have 5 more radio shopping days until Christmas. As we're approaching the end of the year, it's fitting that today's News West is the History of Amateur Radio edition, and we're looking back 90 years to 1931, and we have some great stories from Western Australian newspapers for you, including one story that was amazingly prophetic, but no spoiler from me, you'll have to listen for it. Andrew reports on RASA's successful negotiations with the Privacy Commissioner and the ACMA to protect amateur operators' privacy in Australia. Again, with RASA, Chris VK3QB talks about Intruder Watch and announces RASA's latest QTC magazine. It's a ripper, you should read it. Last week's national news carried a rather spiteful message from a WIA official, the editor-in-chief, and I've responded today with facts that disprove his claims and further illustrate the shenanigans at the WIA. Last week in the WIA's national news, the editor-in-chief of the Wireless Institute's amateur radio magazine spoke about the Institute's advertising policy for affiliated clubs. He made some quotes, told us that page one of the amateur radio magazine gives all the necessary information for club advertisers, and gave websites to look at. That was good, and it's information that all clubs should be aware of. Then came the barb. I don't know why he felt he needed a barb, but there it is. He said, check the policy and book your advertising by the direct route. Don't try some backdoor way and then complain up and down social media and on air that your advertising was censored or rejected unfairly, as did one non-affiliated organisation earlier. No names, no pack drill. End of quote. No names, no pack drill, huh? Would that be RASA? Because the Wireless Institute of Australia's board and their close protectors, the Choir Boys, apparently can't bring themselves to utter the name of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, RASA, the Voldemort Clause. Well, here are the facts. A person approached the Wireless Institute of Australia Publications Department by email back on the 8th of September, inquiring about advertising rates in the amateur radio magazine. There was no mention of the proposed advertisement's contents. On the 23rd of September, that person again emailed the publications department saying that no response was received. On the 13th of October, the Wireless Institute's office man, Bruce, replied from the Institute's publications department email saying, thank you for your interest in placing a QRM guru advertisement in the WIA's amateur radio magazine. The request was passed to the WIA board for deliberation, but has been rejected. Now, let's clarify this. The original inquiry was made to, and the response came from, the Publications Department of the Wireless Institute of Australia. Tick. So good so far. The board rejected the advertisement. No tick. Why? Because no advertisement was tendered for consideration. The inquirer was merely asking about advertising rates in the magazine. Why was a simple question about advertising rates presented to the board? Why on earth did the WIA board reject an advertisement that they hadn't seen? Was it purely because the person asking the question was known as a RASA member, so the answer to any question was going to be no? This is another fine example of the victimisation, bullying and bastardry that the Wireless Institute, right at its core, is perpetrating. Yet the editor-in-chief rails against those who must not be named for circumventing the process. Is there a process for inquiring about advertising rates? I haven't seen one. At first I thought the editor-in-chief was having a go at WA Amateur Radio News because we'd made a noise about two successive editors-in-chief refusing to publish our advertisement for Perth Tech, with no reasons given. But he mentioned a non-affiliated club. But it seems even affiliated clubs are treated subjectively. Folks, we need a new board. We need fresh directors who will get on with the business of amateur radio and who will wipe out the churlish victimisation and revenge that has been the hallmark of this current board for too long. We need a board populated by grown-ups who will lead the way at this pivotal time in amateur radio history. We need a board who will collaborate with all players in the sector for the betterment of amateur radio.
From the West Australian, Monday 17th of August 1931, an article with the heading of Lindbergh's Flight, Arrival in Siberia, is reported. Seattle, August 15th, 1931. An amateur radio operator has intercepted a message from St. Paul Naval Radio Station in the Bering Sea, saying that Colonel and Mrs. Lindbergh, who are on a holiday flight to Japan, landed at Kerguelen Island in Siberia from Nome, Alaska at 10:49 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday.
This column, entitled Over the Ether, is from the Sunday Times, Sunday the 6th of September, 1931. The author uses the nom de plume, detector, and under the heading Wireless News, Tips and Comments, some of the material is about broadcast radio. However, this medium was very much entwined with amateur radio. It was often the same people involved. Stations on the broadcast band are at good strength at present. 3LO Melbourne, 375 metres. 3AR Melbourne, 491 metres, is very strong. 3DB Melbourne, 255 metres. 3UZ, 319 metres. 3KZ, 222 metres. 2KY Sydney, 280 metres. 2UW Sydney, 267 metres. 5KA Adelaide, 250 metres. And 5AD on 229 metres. In the early mornings, the foreign broadcasters can be heard on three valves in varying strengths. Speech is not too clear, but their music is good. New stations. Nicholson's new B station, which should be on the air, is not far distant future, will transmit on a wavelength of 341 metres. The call sign will be 6PR. The Goldfield station, 6KG, will work on a wavelength of 246 metres. It is reported good progress is being made with the erection of the plant, and the first transmission should be made sometime this month. The moon's effect on radio. It is no mere superstition that radio is always poorer on a moonlit night. Thousands of radio observations taken by an American investigator confirm the belief of practical radio operators that radio reception is poorer when the moon is above the horizon. It was found the intensity of radio reception increases up to 100% after the Earth's satellite has set. An apparent depression occurs in the heaviside layer of electrons in the upper atmosphere, its radio's ceiling, it is declared, from which radio waves bounce back to Earth when the moon is overhead, suggesting that the moon is an electrostatically charged body and that it is responsible for the temporary diminution of radio reception.
This isn't the home service of either the BBC or the Wireless Institute of Australia. What it is NewsWest, VK6ARN, wishing you all a happy Christmas and a safe new year.
This history item is from the Albany Advertiser on Thursday the 3rd of September 1931 in the column called Radio Notes. The usual fortnightly meeting of the Wireless Institute of Australia, Albany Subdivision, was held in the Strand Cafe on Tuesday evening last. It was decided that, in future, meetings take place on the 2nd and 4th Tuesday evenings of each month, so that the meeting nights will now fall on a definite date each time. Mr. C. Vernon gave a lecture on amateur activities, in which he first gave an outline of amateur history and working, and then described some simple transmitting sets. He showed the development of a simple receiver into a transmitter, and gave some hints on the best type of transmitter to use. At the next meeting to be held on September 8, it is expected that Mr. B. Dadd, a WIA member from Perth, will give a talk on matters of general interest to all WIA members.
RASA has engaged the ACMA and the Privacy Commissioner several times over the past few years regarding the requirement to publish an amateur station address, i.e. their QTH, on their public access database, the RRL. The previous responses have not been favourable, citing the requirements of the Communications Act and using this as an argument to the Privacy Commissioner, who found that the publication of such data was indeed a breach of privacy, but granted the ACMA an exception, as the law was due to be changed. at some date in the future. Well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The ACMA have listened to our arguments, and Item 37 of the Regulator Performance Bill that is with the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet will allow the ACMA to grant an exemption from publication of personal data at its discretion. That's a major change for our bureaucracy. Of course, the fact that the changes to call sign regulations makes the station address an accurate data entry is now a nonsense, and this, together with the department still standing by their view that it's fair to expect an amateur to pay the annual cost of a post office box to receive just one renewal notice a year to avoid a privacy breach, are both seen to be acceptable by them, is still somewhat bizarre. They do, however, point out that the foreshadowed change to a class license may alter the issue, but that many amateurs like a public record of call signs. Small steps forward, though. Russ's view is that a database is a good thing, but that the security and privacy of personal information should not be put at risk by outdated legislation and concerns that related once to national security and are no longer relevant. Congratulations to the RASA committee for doggedly pursuing this matter and not taking no as the answer, and being prepared to challenge decisions. One wonders what the other representative body has been doing about this issue.
Seen in the Mount Barker and Denmark Record, on Monday, the 6th of July, 1931, a column simply called Radio Notes. Supplied by the Albany Subdivision Wireless Institute of Australia, the third meeting of the above body was held on Monday evening last, when a record attendance to date was obtained. Mr. Collins gave a lecture on the elementary principles of radio, in which he dealt with, in simple fashion, the electron theory, electricity, induction, the oscillatory circuit, resonance, and tuning. An experiment showing the effect of tuning was very interesting, and will, by request, probably be repeated at the next meeting. In another lecture, to be given on July 13, Mr. Collins proposes to continue the first, and will discuss waves and wavelengths, sound and detection, and amplification of signals in a radio set. The next meeting will be held on July 13 in the Strand Cafe upstairs at 8 p.m, and all interested are invited to be present. Mr. Vernon, who operates his experimental transmitting station 6KZ at the Forts, Albany, supplies the following information concerning his activities. Judging by the reports sent to 6RZ notifying reception of telephony and slow Morse, there appears to be quite a large number of listeners tuning in on the 80-meter band. The conditions existing at present are only fair, and much better results will be obtained shortly. During the period September to January is the best time for reception of shortwave signals from all over the world, and with just a simple two-valve set, it is quite possible to hear amateur radio signals at good strength. Last year, during the above period, VK6KZ, operated by Mr. Vernon at the Forts, Albany, established two-way communications with five continents on a wavelength of 21 metres, using only 200 volts HT supply. The countries worked were England, Czechoslovakia, USA, Ecuador, India, Ceylon, Singapore, Straits Settlements, Dutch East Indies, Japan, Philippine Islands, New Zealand, and all Australia. It can be seen easily from this that long-distance work is quite feasible from a minute power on the ultra-short waves. The slow Morse transmissions will be continued from 6KZ, and now that VK6DA, operated by Mr. Saw, has recommenced his telephony, local listeners are well catered for on the 80-meter band. The operating times of the two local amateurs are as follows. VK6, 80 metres, Wednesday and Sunday, 6:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. VK6DA, 42 metres, Sunday, 10 to 12 p.m. VK6DA, 82 metres, irregularly at present and testing a new plant. The former is using a single valve as oscillator in a Hartley transmitter with grid modulation for telephony, HT, 200 volts, and the latter a master oscillator power amplifier employing a 210-valve oscillator and a TB04/100 amplifier. The speech unit employing receiving type tubes with Heisening modulation, power supply 440 volts. Reports on the transmissions are welcomed and can be addressed to the Secretary of the Club.
In the West Australian, Saturday 20th of June 1931, buried in a column called General News was this little gem. The Amateur Radio Transmitters League of Western Australia will conduct tests for shortwave transmissions from a moving motor car touring the whole of the metropolitan area tomorrow evening. Telephony tests will be carried out on 75 metres and will commence about 7:30 p.m. Reports regarding the reception by those in possession of shortwave receiving sets would be greatly appreciated by the League and will be of value in determining the effects of various environments through which the car passes. Reports should be posted to the Secretary at 82 Forest Street, South Perth.
How about this for a radio prophecy from 90 years ago from the Daily News, Monday, the 8th of June, 1931, in a column called The Broadcaster by VK6FG. The trend in radio for the past year or so has undoubtedly been towards smaller and still smaller sets, whether for receiving or transmitting. On present knowledge of the subject, however, this fetish may be carried too far. For instance, a microscopic transmitting set cannot be expected to carry high power. If it were attempted, it would quickly break down because of the inherent weaknesses. But knowledge is quickly growing, and new developments are taking place with surprising rapidity. Only recently, the cables announced that transmissions had been successfully carried out in England on a wavelength of a fraction of a meter, and it was anticipated that when perfected, conversations between the United Kingdom and the continent could take place with a mere handful of apparatus, and that there was little possibility of congestion of the ether. Another pointer on the present tendency was the message stating that a newspaper man, holding a set in one hand and carrying a few feet of wire on an aerial in the other, was able to go to one side of a large aerodrome and talk to listeners at the other side. It will be remembered, too, that an English amateur has been experimenting with a pocket set which could be carried by a policeman, who could listen in while on the beat to instructions from his office. Something revolutionary expected. All this information about small sets, micro-rays, and the system dealt with in this column last week of directional radio, using telephone posts as holders of relay stations, shows the great advances that have been made on present knowledge. Is it not reasonable to postulate the belief that while all this advance along accepted lines is being made, that something sensational and simple and providing the same ends but by different means may be anticipated? Upon analysing the present-day methods of transmission and reception, it will be found that for long-distance transmissions, a fairly large amount of power has to be expected. This energy is dissipated in the ether to be picked up by receiving sets. The amount of energy which reaches an aerial, even if for directional radio is adopted, is microscopic. A broadcasting station may put out 15 kilowatts into its aerial, but the share of it received by the listener may be only 1/10,000,000th part of the original power. This would suggest a huge waste, and yet the apparatus is sufficiently delicate to receive it and render the program so broadcast completely intelligible. It would appear to the writer that the time is not far distant when this disparity of radio between energy transmitted and received will be reduced, and the system of aerials both transmitting and receiving would suggest that some improvement may be made here. Perhaps, someday, we will do without aerials altogether. The human body has wavelength. This is not so far away as may be thought of at first, for Mr. Robert Pecorini, a member of the Institute of Radio Engineers in England, recently told how he discovered that the human body was transmitting and receiving set. Quote, "I was experimenting in 1924, he said, with wavelengths from 3 to 5 meters. I noticed certain physical symptoms when I noted in my logbook. I was evidently transmitting on a wavelength close to that of the human body, a wavelength which has now been established by physicists and as being around 3 meters. This discovery has been utilized in Germany for the investigation of healing processes. Unquote. Who will say that in a few years we'll be able to carry in our pockets a complete radio transmitter, receiver, and television, so that we may talk with our friends no matter where we be, and we will see them and they will see us. Alas, then for the man who tells his wife that he is detained at the office, when in reality he has the typist to dinner at a fashionable hotel.
This is VK6 Juliet Echo Fox, and on behalf of the News West team, I'd like to wish all amateur radio operators in VK6 a very Merry Christmas and happy and prosperous New Year in 2022. And you are listening to VK6 ARN.
Protecting our bands is something that matters to all of us. But what does protection of our bands actually entail? For many years, the WIA has actively been promoting its Intruder Watch and IARU monitoring system. The WIA advises that, and I quote, "The ACMA is obliged under the WIA IARU monitoring system mechanism to investigate and as much as is practical resolve intrusions into amateur HF bands in which Australian amateurs have primary status." Unquote. Literally thousands of intruder observations have been reported to the WIA over the years, but we could find no evidence that any action was being taken. We wrote to the ACMA and received this response. Quote, "The ACMA would note that the reports have been provided by the WIA on a long-standing basis, but the ACMA has not received any reports since June 2021. We can advise that the ACMA takes no specific action on these matters beyond noting them." Unquote. So, it appears that protecting our bands from intruders is not as straightforward as the WIA would have us believe. Does the WIA system work? Does it require a review? We've done a deep dive into the topic of protecting our bands in the December issue of QTC Magazine. Visit our website and download your free copy, or just type QTC Magazine into your favourite browser. This has been Chris, VK3QB, for the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. 7-3.
News West, next week, explores the world of the new amateur. We'll acknowledge those who have gained a new or upgraded licence and hand out some gratuitous but sage advice to newcomers. And this may even prove useful for old hands too. What was it like for you when you first dipped your toe into the amateur radio pond? Would you like to tell us how it was for you? Believe it or not, your story will be interesting to others. Or perhaps, if you've long passed being a beginner and you're an old hand at amateur radio now, and there's something you'd like to pass on to newcomers, well, that's a story that's also welcome. All you need to do is write it down and record it. Usually about 300 words makes a nice size piece. You can make a decent recording on a smartphone these days. Just set it to the best quality your device can manage and avoid a noisy environment, just like mine. If you're a bit uncertain about making your own recording, drop us a line to newswest@vke6.net and we can interview you, either face-to-face or via a two-person meeting on something like Zoom or Skype. Please send all contributions as email attachments to newswest@vke6.net.
I hear sometimes that people are tired of amateur radio politics, but unfortunately, when it comes to development and representation of our hobby, politics, or whatever it should be called, become involved. Because what is glibly labelled and dismissed as politics is often a discussion about how best to develop and represent amateur radio as a hobby. Whether we like it or not, and whether we're interested in membership or not, when it comes to dealing with the ACMA, the regulator in Australia, there's the Wireless Institute of Australia, and there's the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. And in spite of the dismissive attitudes of some people, RASA is in dialogue with the regulator and has participated fully in informing and influencing outcomes for amateur radio. Without the politics of amateur radio, the regulator will do as they like, and we saw that recently with their unilateral decision to remove the significance of the numerical state designator on call signs. We're on the threshold of moving into a different type of licensing in Australian amateur radio, and along with it, self-regulation in the sector. How will that be achieved when the WIA won't even acknowledge the existence of RASA? Both the WIA and RASA act on behalf of all Australian amateurs in their dealings with the ACMA. However, neither of them represent the majority of Australian amateurs in their membership. In fact, neither does their combined membership. If we're not careful, regulation may go to an external body. How would you like that? It's crucial now more than ever that both societies collaborate in order to achieve the best outcomes for amateur radio. RASA has made several approaches to the Wireless Institute of Australia over the years. However, a bare majority of the directors at the WIA are set in their old ways and won't enter into any acknowledgement of RASA's existence, let alone any form of collaboration. If you're a Wireless Institute of Australia member, you ought to be concerned that you're not only not getting value for money from your annual fees, but you're not getting proper representation because your board wastes so much time and energy gnashing its teeth at RASA and News West, as far as that goes, and its achievements, and trying to blot them off the Australian amateur radio scene. We need a wireless institute that works across the sector for the benefit of the whole amateur radio community. At present, they only listen to their mates and lock out those with a dissenting view. In the coming director elections, we need to choose directors who will work for the whole of the hobby.
Καλά Χριστούγεννα και χρόνια πολλά όλοι μας ακούνε. Ετότο είναι το News West, Vika 6, Alpha Romeo, November.
Good morning all, VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 19th of December 2021. Take this opportunity wishing you and you all Merry Christmas, and today we have the wanted a couple of items here for you. ICOM IC208 Hotel, that's a transceiver. ICOM IC208 Hotel in good working order. Please contact, I don't have his name, but the VK6 Victor Romeo Oscar at gmail.com is his email address. VK6 Victor Romeo Oscar at gmail.com. 0408 302 014 is the phone number for that IC208 hotel. Next wanted is some filters, CW filters for Morse code filters, CW filters to suit the Fox Tango 817 and the Kenwood TS50. Looking for filters type Yankee Fox 122 Charlie or Yankee Fox 122 Charlie November, and also a Yankee Kilo 107 Charlie for the TS50. If you can help with that one, Mark, VK6QI is looking for those. Please contact him on SMS or phone on 0418 161 773. 0418 161773. Next item, a Barrett for sale. We have a Barrett 550 for sale with an automatic antenna tuning it and a 1.6 stainless whip antenna. Asking 750 and contact Brian, VK6 Zulu Bravo Alpha on his email, VictorKilo6 Zulu Bravo Alpha at aussiebravobravo.com.au. VK6 Zulu Bravo Alpha at Alpha Uniform Sierra Sierra India Echo Bravo Bravo .com.au. Mobile 0427 994 620. 0427 994 620. Next item, I have a heap of items here. Tony, Argentina, one of my best contributors, has a Turlin Outback vertical mobile antenna with a whole heap of frequencies on it, asking $75 or nearest offer. It's a Turlin Outbacker. There's also a 200 November diamond vertical antenna frequency 144 to 430 megahertz, $100 for that one or nearest offer. There's a 27 meg CB vertical antenna, $20. Yaesu FT212 Romeo Hotel 2 meter mobile transceiver, 5 watts and 45 watts switchable, $150 or nearest offer. And the internal speaker's not working apparently. But there's also a Hinkey multimeter model 3002, $15. Kenwood TS2000 all-mode transceiver. Serial numbers all given for these, $500 or nearest offer for that. An ICOM's IC725 HF transceiver. Serial number given, $250 or nearest offer. A three-position push-button antenna switch, $15. Marine antenna base complete with whip antenna, $50 or nearest offer. There's an MS691 multimedia stereo speakers, $15. 12 by RG58 assorted length of patch cords and leads, $3 each or $30 a lot. And the roll of RG58 used cable, approximately length 20 meters, $35. And a roll of RG58 used cable, approximately length 6 meters, $10.50. And Tony says, caveat emptor. That applies to all items on here this morning. And you must know what you're buying, and buyer beware. That's what it means. Contact Tony, VK6 Alpha Tango India. His email address is tango alpha romeo golf echo november tango india@westnet.com.au, or phone 0895286735. Again, that number is 0895286735. And the email again is tango alpha romeo golf echo november tango india@westnet.com.au. There is still a list of items with Don Truscott, VK6 Uniform Tango's son. You can contact Stephen Truscott, 0401 804166, or 0893303134. 0893303134, or email stephen.tango@westnet.com.au. Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Echo November Tango at westnet.com.au for a list of all equipment available. Thank you. I'll leave it there at the moment. Quit while I'm ahead. I'll quit now, and wish you all a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year as well to follow. If you have any items for next week, please contact me, Roy, at vk6xv@bigpond.com, and I will attend to your needs. vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. 7-3 till next time.
Next week's News West is wedged in between Christmas and New Year, and it's the new Amateurs edition, and the following week is Club Focus. With Christmas Day and New Year's Day falling on Saturday, I'd like to be able to put the news to bed as early as I can, so please have your stuff ready a day earlier. That's the Thursday each time. Now here's a date for the calendar, 21st, 22nd of May 2022. We're hoping to be able to stage Perth Tech on that date. Thanks to all the usual suspects for their part in putting the news together, on air and online. It's a massive task when you add it all up, and it just happens week after week. Perhaps we're all mad. Who knows, but thanks. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer. From all of us here at News West, I wish you a happy and safe Christmas, and I hope you can share it with family and friends. Whatever your lot is at Christmas, it's a great time to get on air and make some ho-ho-ho.